Ekstrom scowled. So, is it possible or not? Not on your life, Nora said flatly. Totally impossible. I would have hit pockets of brine ice in my core samples. Core samples are drilled essentially in random spots, right? Rachel asked. Is there any chance the core's placements, simply by bad luck, could have missed a pocket of sea ice? I drilled directly down over the meteorite. Then I drilled multiple cores only a few yards on either side. You can't get any closer. Just asking. The point is moot, Nora said. Brine interstices occur only in seasonal ice, ice that forms and melts every season. The Milne ice shaft is fast ice that forms in the mountains and holds fast until it migrates to the calving zone and falls into the sea. As convenient as frozen plankton would be for explaining this mysterious little phenomenon, I can guarantee there are no hidden networks of frozen plankton in this glacier. The group fell silent again. Despite the stark rebuttal of the frozen plankton theory, Rachel's systematic analysis of the data refused to accept the rejection. Instinctively, Rachel knew that the presence of frozen plankton in the glacier beneath them was the simplest solution to the riddle. The law of parsimony, she thought. Her NRO instructors had driven it into her subconscious. When multiple explanations exist, the simplest is usually correct. Nora Manger obviously had a lot to lose if her ice core data was wrong, and Rachel wondered if maybe Nora had seen the plankton, realized she'd made a mistake in claiming the glacier was solid, and was now simply trying to cover her tracks. All I know, Rachel said, is that I just briefed the entire White House staff and told them this meteorite was discovered in a pristine matrix of ice and had been sealed there, untouched by outside influence, since 1716, when it broke off of a famous meteorite called the Jungasol. This fact now appears to be in some question. The NASA administrator was silent, his expression grave. Tallon cleared his throat. I have to agree with Rachel. There was saltwater and plankton in the pool. No matter what the explanation is, that shaft is obviously not a closed environment. We can't say it is. Corky was looking uncomfortable.
Folks, not to sound like the astrophysicist here, but in my field, when we make mistakes, we're usually off by billions of years. Is this little plankton-saltwater mix-up really all that important? I mean, the perfection of the ice surrounding the meteorite in no way affects the meteorite itself, right? We still have the fossils. Nobody is questioning their authenticity. If it turns out we've made a mistake with the ice core data, nobody will really care. All they'll care about is that we found proof of life on another planet.
I'm sorry, Dr. Marlinson, Rachel said. As someone who analyzes data for a living, I have to disagree. Any tiny flaw in the data NASA presents tonight has the potential to cast doubt over the credibility of the entire discovery, including the authenticity of the fossils. Corky's jaw fell open.
What are you talking about? Those fossils are irrefutable.
I know that. You know that. But if the public catches wind that NASA knowingly presented ice core data that was in question, trust me, they will immediately start wondering what else NASA lied about. Nora stepped forward, eyes flashing.
My ice core data is not in question.
She turned to the administrator.
I can prove to you categorically that there is no brine ice trapped anywhere in this ice shelf.
The administrator eyed her a long moment.
How?
Nora outlined her plan. When she was done, Rachel had to admit the idea sounded like a reasonable one. The administrator didn't look so sure.
And the results will be definitive? 100% confirmation, Nora assured him. If there's one goddamn ounce of frozen saltwater anywhere near that meteorite shaft, you will see it. Even a few droplets will light up on my gear like Times Square.